Amen. It's always great to know, see, and to experience what God's doing. And it's good just to get before Him as a family. So we're on day 28. It should be today if I got it right. So we've only got 12 more days of the course, in a sense. So I'm speaking this week on Shaped for Service. So if you want to put a title down, Shape for Service, over the last few weeks we've been looking at different stuff, and we've looked at, first week we looked at, we've all got a purpose. So if you're still breathing, you've got a purpose, regardless of what you think and what other people say, God's got a purpose for you. We looked at worship, and that worship is a lifestyle, it's not just a song. We also went through the fact that Jesus has created, and one of our purposes to live in fellowship with one another. And that includes, you know, it isn't His will, but we do annoy each other, and God uses those annoyances to deal with stuff in our own lives. Last week, we looked at the fact that God's purpose for our life is that we become like Him, that we're discipled, and that we need to. And another purpose is that we were shaped by God, designed by God, to actually serve. I heard somebody recently say that most people who are caught, somebody did a survey of people that have been stranded or in a deserted or in a stressful situation where they were lost or had to find a way back and survive. And he did a difference between people who'd survived and often people who had not survived. And he said that those who survived were often the people who'd actually helped somebody else. But the people who said, I'm off on my own, often didn't survive. Now, you could argue that there was at least two of them then, but often when one person was helping the other, they survived. But when they worked as a team, it was 50-50 whether they get there. So God has created us to actually help each other, to stand with each other and to serve. The Bible actually says this, Ephesians 2, verse 10. I always like Ephesians. It says that, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. You see, we look on the outside of what we are, but God's looking on the inside, and God says that you are His workmanship. You are what God has made you, and He has created you in Christ Jesus to do good works. So not everybody does good work, because there's those people God's created who are not in Christ Jesus, and it doesn't matter what they do, it's not on for God, it's for their own righteousness, but God's created us in Christ Jesus to do good works, every one of us. Now, you've got to define what good works are, and we may unpack that, or you can look at it in the house groups, but we were made to make a contribution, not to be a consumer. We're living in a society and a part of our world, and especially the West world, where we're consumers. We consume everything. We want to be entertained. We want people to do for us. That's why we go out for meals. That's why we go out for a drink, or we go to the pictures, or we watch TV, or we some people even hire people to clean their houses. Maybe not us, but there are people like that. And yet we consume and consume, but we were never created to be a consumer. We were created to actually have something to give. The Bible says, stop nicking, paraphrase, stop pinching, and do something good with your hand so you've got something to give. We were created by God for work, good works, and part of that good works is having something to give. And the thing is, we often limit ourselves in what we have because we compare ourselves with somebody else. And we can't do that because each of us were created with specific gifts and talents and gifts. There's three types of things we can offer. It's a generalization, and I'm not going down these, but I heard this week. There's three things that any of us can give. We can give our time, our talent, or our treasure. So some people have lots of time, and they can offer time, but they don't have much talent or treasure. Some people have lots of talent, but they don't have much time, but they can give what they've got. Some people are good at earning money, so they can give their money. So it's three different sides of the same coin, same thing, but we've all got different stuff, but we often concentrate on our talents. But if we limit ourselves to our talents, then it can kind of get awkward. There's many things we need in church, And it's three circles that intersect right at the center. See, some people have great talent, some people have great passion, and there's a need in the church. But you could have a great talent and a great passion for one thing, but it's not needed in the church. Therefore, some people feel they're unwanted, but their gift at the moment is just not needed. There's some things we need, but we don't have the talent or the passion. So sometimes, let's take kids' work. There's a need called kids' work. And some people have a talent for kids' work. They're called often teachers and often ladies. But they don't often have a passion. Because if you're a teacher and you've been teaching kids all week, the last thing you want to do is do it on a Sunday. So you've got the talent and we've got the need, but not the passion. So sometimes we need to bring all three of those things together. And that's when we start moving things forward in the church. But in Job 10, verse 8, it says this. Talking of God, your hands shaped me and made me. You see, some people actually criticize themselves for having the look. Now, there are times in our life if you've, you know, if you play rugby and you get a bent nose and a cauliflower ear, you can say it's your own fault. But generally, people are very critical of what they look like and who they are, and yet we were created by God, made by God and put together by God. We've looked at this before a couple of weeks ago, that God needed the DNA of our parents to make who we are. And God uses usually five things to shape us. He gives us spiritual gifts. He gives us a heart. He gives us abilities. They're different from spiritual gifts. He gives us a personality and he gives us experience. And all these things shape us into the person we are so that we can do good works in Jesus. So your experiences are not null and void. They actually have made you who you are. I've found that sometimes if people's had a really rough upbringing, a really rough life, they either become very bitter or become very grateful. They go one way or the other. But I've realized that throughout life, it doesn't matter how hard you've become or how hard life's been to you, we've all got the possibility of becoming bitter or becoming grateful. It swings from, so some people had a really hard life and they can be really grateful, and some people can have a few knocks in their life and everything's been really easy for them, and yet they can become quite bitter because they're looking at somebody else going, I wish I had what they had. And for us all, we need to realize that God's created me and he's created you for a purpose. And he's given you particular gifts that are needed at a particular time. There's a verse in the Bible, I'm trying to think what it is, but it talks about how sometimes Jesus helps us through things so we can help other people through things. So sometimes you wonder, why the heck am I going through this? And God's saying, because I'm going to help you through this so you can help somebody else go through it. Yet we don't want to go through it ourselves, but further down the line, somebody's going to need our help. Somebody's going to need what God's got for our lives. So God has shaped us and he has made us. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, each one of us should use whatever gift he has to serve, whatever gift he has received to serve others. What gifts have you got? The problem in church is often we look at gifts as in the front of the house. The gifts up here. But in reality, there's people each week getting gifts and they go upstairs. Some people have gifts and they go through to the back room. After a meeting, some people have different gifts and they go into the kitchen area. In the week, some people have different gifts. They're in small groups. And even this week, I had somebody say, we've got enough people here, let's go visit somebody. We've all got different stuff we can do. It's not all front of house. In fact, really, it should only be a little bit of talent and gifting at the front of the house, and the rest should be amongst the people, served out amongst the people. So we should use whatever gifts you've received from God to serve other people. But we often think, I can only serve my gift through the platform. You know, some people are called by God and been given by God to have a pastoral heart, but they won't make good pastors. But they've been given a pastoral heart. But yet we think everybody who's got a pastoral heart will make a good pastor. But pastoring's more than being pastoral. You know that, don't you? Nobody ever told me that. And when God starts saying, I want you to go into this and do it, like, yeah, great. God never told me I have to work through DBSs.
I don't care about them, but they need doing. I don't care about lawyers and solicitors, but I've got to work with them. I don't care about making sure the building's all everything it is, but I've got to do that. I thought ministry was standing up and preaching and having a shabba-dabba-doo moment every now and then. But that's only a tiny bit of the job. And we've all got different stuff to do. So our talents are not for our benefit. This is, I found this quote. Our talents, your talents, my talents are not for our benefit. Whoa. You could be the world's best at something. And let's take, I'm not going to pick on the guitar players, but that's the obvious one. You know, because I know of a few. They're great guitar players. Brian May, he can sing and dance on that guitar, and there's other ones who can really get going on their guitars, and they're really gifted, really talented, and they've made lots of money by it. But God says, our talents were not for our benefit. Yet we can use our talents for our benefit if we want to. But they're not entirely just for us. It continues. Our purpose in life is to be what God made us to be. And he gave us the gifts and talents and our abilities, our background and our experiences. And all these things are for the benefits of others, to be used by serving others. Growing up, I've said this before, growing up all my life, my education, everything was to become a soldier. They'd done the tests on you, where the word association, I was going to make an amazing soldier. They said about me, and I think it's worrying looking back, that I'd make a good sniper. They said you could knife somebody in the throat while looking in the eyes and it won't faze you. Looking back, I think there should be something wrong with me. But that were my gifts and talents. So what does God do? God gets hold of me, saves me, radically changes me, and I'm still the same person inside, except for knifing people in the throat and looking in their eyes. I can stare down demons in the name of Jesus and say, my God is greater than anything on this planet. In me is a power that surpasses everything else. I can stare down demons. I can go into dark places. In fact, someone prophesied over me years ago that I would go where pastors fear to go. And I thought that meant going to the red light district and stuff like that. I think really what it meant is I will question and I will challenge those things that most pastors will never challenge. Allow the status quo. I will challenge in your life everything I can to get you to realize how awesome and amazing you are and the plan that God's got for you. And some of you don't like it, some of you kick and scream against it, but God has raised me up to challenge you and to make the best of you and let you see that God is working through you and he has a plan for you. And some of you still look at me going, I don't think so. Well, my left boot is reserved for you. And those who know God's got a plan for their life, my right boot is reserved for you when you stall. And Phil's boot is reserved for me. Spiritually talking, I'm talking about. And then there's Ian's boot. So we've got all this stuff going on. But God has given you gifts and talents that are for everyone. There's a word in the Bible, it's called ministry. And we often think a minister is a guy that's got a collar on and maybe a robes on and all that size of stuff. But we're all called to be ministers. We're all called to have a purpose in God. Jesus said this, just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be served, but to serve. Jesus didn't come to be served, he came to serve. So if Jesus' example to me is that he served, then my example should be, I serve. But Jesus' example is to everybody. Every one of us is called by God to minister to someone. In fact, you'll find your greatest fulfillment when you minister to somebody. I've been told this, and I'm now seeing it to some point, but not as much as others, that your kids can be your greatest joy and your greatest pain at the same time. But ministering to people in whatever form that might be, you'll get the same. You'll have the greatest joy when you see them taking steps forward and walking out of a situation. And the greatest pain when you want to slap them because they've jumped back into the situation. And you've only got to be saved a short time working with people to realize that some people are fickle and no matter how much you help them, they'll still revert back. But you still help them. But we've all got that part to play. So there's three things that I'm quickly going to go through because time's flying. That we were created by God. Serving like Jesus means being available. Serving like Jesus also means being grateful. And serving like Jesus means to be faithful. So serving means being available. I ain't got time to go through everything, but basically, every time Jesus ministered to somebody, it was often because he got interrupted. Jesus is going somewhere and somebody interrupted him. He was on his way somewhere and somebody stopped him. But yet when people try stopping us, we often say, I'm too busy. And then sometimes even when God says, I want to interrupt your life, I am too busy. God don't want us to be too busy. He wants us to be a minister to people. One of the statistics are, and you work out which side you're on, basically, talking generally within churches across the UK, that the people that do the most ministering in churches throughout the UK are those that are actually working part-time, if not full-time. So most of the people that minister in the churches within the UK are people that work. And yet many people say, I am too busy. And yet those who are busy in church are often busy working as well. I'm talking generally here, maybe a bit different. But we've got to understand that God has a plan for every one of us and we need to be available for whatever God got. Jesus was often stopped by people and he took time out for them. The phone never rings at a good time. It never does. There was a time when I'm in the bath, my tea's ready, and a lady phoned me from the church. And her dad was dying. She needed me there. And I'm soaped up. Shaving, ready, there, soaking. I've had an hard day, I want to rest. My dad's dying, will you come? I says, I'm on my way. It wasn't convenient. I had a quick blood spurting out of my head, waiting to shut off. I run downstairs, I got my tea, I threw it in a dish, got a fork, and I'm driving to the hospital with my dinner between my legs, spooning it up as I'm driving. Do not, but I'm recording. And I got there and I managed to pray with the person and pray with the family and it was an awesome moment. And I said to this person, it's okay, you're going to close it. If you're a Christian, you're going to close your eyes, but to you, short time, you're going to close your eyes, but then you're going to open them and you're going to see Jesus. And it was awesome just to be there with this guy and his family's there. Some were Christians, some weren't. But I could have said, I'm busy. I'm tired. I'm having my tea. But then you could say, well, Johnny, you're the pastor, that's your job. No, it's not my job. But my job in my heart is to serve people. So sometimes there's those moments. By the way, you'll get away with that once, maybe twice. Phil and I, New Year's Eve, a couple of years ago, phone call, Jim's dying, can you come? We were there. I wanted to party. I want to boogie, you know, dance like me dad. I didn't really. But there was a call. And it's never convenient. And Jesus, it was never convenient in his life. So to be a minister of God, we need to be available. John Wesley said this. He had this motto, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, by all the ways you can, by all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long and forever as you can. In other words, well, have you got time? See, Jesus didn't give us that option of, I need rest, I'm going to sit on the sofa. He never said, go and chill out and watch the telly. He never said, well, he didn't have to say, but he used to say, you've got a ministry, you've got a job to do. And whenever we've got breath in our lungs, we've got a job to do. Guys, when we get to heaven, there's several things we'll never do in heaven. There's certain things we'll do forever in heaven. We'll worship God in heaven. That's great. We'll have fellowship forever. We can learn from Jesus forever. But we cannot fight the devil when we get to heaven. So let's fight him now. You can't witness to anybody when you're in heaven because nobody can get saved there. And you can't minister to the hurting when we get to heaven. Neither. Because there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. So these are just things we can do. We'll get you. Scrap that lot. So things that stop us, being available, self-centeredness, perfectionist and materialism. In other words, it's all about me and it's not. Perfectionist, when everything's right, then I can help. It'll never be right. And materialism, as in when I get enough, then I can help. You'll never have enough. So the next one is serving like Jesus means being grateful.
And often, why do we serve God with gratefulness? You know, what can we do? What are we grateful for? If you think it's your God-given right for people to serve you, you don't understand what Jesus did. And the more I realize what he did on that cross makes me to a point where he went all in for me, I need to go all in for him. And how do I demonstrate my love for God? By looking out for his kids. If you want to show love to a parent, love their kids. That's straight. I'm giving you a clue there. Not just do it for mine, but anybody. You look after anybody's kids. Show love to their kids. They will see that as you're loving them. So how do I love the Father? By loving his kids. By caring. So he's going, but I don't like his kids. Well, his kids don't like you neither. But we're all kids. Brothers and sisters fight in real families. And we've got a real church. And sometimes bigger brother has got to sometimes split the little brothers and sisters from fighting. But that's life. If we went through church 1 year without falling out with somebody, I'd be concerned. But I'm also concerned if you hold a grudge or if you get really offended and want to leave. We need to sort that out. But guys, we're going to say stuff because you live with each other. Not literally, but you live communicating with you, fellowshipping, and you'll know each other. If you want a perfect church, start your own and then go on your own. Because it'll be perfect till you turn up. And then it's imperfect. And nobody will tell you what you should be doing and shouldn't be doing, or annoying you, or whatever. So, we need to be grateful because Jesus has done so much. 2 Timothy 1:9 says this, talked about Jesus, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. Jesus did everything for me. Now I need to do everything I can for him. And what's he want of me? Just to shine his light and be there for people. And that's the same as the more you appreciate what Jesus has done for you, the more you appreciate how much you've forgiven, how much you've been set free, and what you've been set free from, it'll make you fall in love with people more than ever. And people do annoy you. People will, but God gives you that love for them. I'm just skipping through a load of stuff. So we need to not just look at what God's done for our life, we need to be thankful for what he's doing in our lives and stop judging ourselves according to other people as well. In Romans 14:4, it says this, who are you to judge somebody else's servant to his own master? He stands and falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. See, it's not my... Be careful here, because actually I am doing what I'm telling you, it's not my right to do. But it's my job to encourage you to serve God. And ultimately, though, it's not my job to tell you exactly how to serve God. I can encourage you. I can point things out. But I can't criticize you right out if you choose not to serve. You don't hear many pastors say that. That's nearly as bad as saying, you know, I believe in tithing, but you don't have to. You don't hear many churches say that, neither do you. But I can encourage you to serve. I can encourage you to minister to people. But if you don't, it's not my job to criticize and have a go at you. Because it's our Heavenly Father that'll deal with you, not me. It's my job to make sure I'm doing what God's called me to do and to encourage you to do what God's called you to do. But if you choose not to, I can't do anything about that. It's not me. It says, what did we read? Who am I to judge somebody else's servant? Who am I to judge you on what God's called you to do if you're not doing it, when I've got to make sure I'm doing all that God's got for me? So stop judging. And like, I've heard somebody say, well, I'll serve when they serve. What? But the truth is, it's not about them. It's not about, why is it God always deals with you and never the other person? It's always God dealing with me. God, and he goes, I'm expressing that the best I can without opening my mouth. And God goes, it's about you I'm dealing with. But then I know secretly he's dealing with you a person. But it's not my concern. My concern is between me and God. Motives, we've got to watch our motives. Matthew 6:1 says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. For if you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. There is a reward system when we get to heaven. And there's nothing wrong with helping people and being there. And if people see it, don't worry about it. But if you're doing it just so you can get noticed. I mean, we don't have it so much in this country. But I have seen it in some churches where, and it was a bit embarrassing, somebody was desperate for some food and stuff like that. And someone said, well, if the church wants me to give them some money, I will do, quite publicly. Here you are. I will bless you because the church won't. And everyone's going, what a man, what a man of God. No, he wasn't. Because if he was a man of God, he'd have shoved it in an envelope and just put the name on it, kept it quiet. And he'd have got his rewards in heaven. But he wanted his public rewards, which is what he got. So he won't get any in heaven. So be careful about our motives. The third one is serving like, serving like Jesus means being faithful. Have you ever served and got to a point where you just think, I've had enough? Just had enough. But we're called to be faithful. That's why I often, if you come to me and say, I'd like to do this, I say, okay, let's do it for a length of time. So that at the end of the length of time, you can say, I've had enough. I'm out of here, thank you. Or you can say, it's doing really well. Shall we continue? Giving you a break, giving you an end time. If you want to work with the kids, I'd say this. Choose to work with the kids and let's take it for, it's once every 4 or 5 weeks you'll be needed, and let's do it for maybe a couple of years and see how you get on. The problem with working with kids is you go in young and come out old. Because you're never seen again, are you? You drift off into that wilderness called kids' work and you come back 20 years later. And I don't want it to be like that. I want it all to grow. John 17:4 says this, talking about Jesus, I have brought glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. I like that, because every time I do what God's called me to do, I bring him glory. And when you do what God's called you to do, you bring glory. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2 says this, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. One of the reasons why we give it at least 2 years before we talk people doing certain stuff in church is because they've got to prove themselves faithful, faithful to the church and faithful to God. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is in the Lord, is not in vain. So whatever you do for God, you know, do it with all your heart and be faithful to it, because it's not in vain. Guys, do you know the smallest act of kindness done in the name of Jesus? Jesus sees it. I really, truly believe there'll be people in heaven, and people always go, oh, Billy Graham will get a really big mansion. And he might. He might. He did a great job. But I think there'll be people there who's not at the stage, who's not been the Christian celebrity, who's not been the mighty person everyone looked up to, but has been the faithful one praying, or the faithful one serving, or the faithful one just... You know, I think there'll be tea ladies in heaven who did their heart's best with everything they had, and I think their rewards will be greater than some people stood on a platform. Because it's not what we look at, it's what God looks at, and what God looks at is faithfulness. It's not bothered out really how talented we are. He gave us a talent. It's up to us whether we use it and are faithful with the talent. And where are we now? We'll skip that lot. God's eyes, God sees everything that we do. He sees all the little and he sees all the big. One day we'll all have to stand before Jesus, every one of us. This isn't a gospel appeal. I'm assuming, looking around, every one of us are saved, or at least going for God, saved, going for God. And I want God to look at me, and I want God to look at you and look at what he made us and that we did everything he called us to be. I feel sometimes like Paul, that he was zealous to present the church he was talking about to God as a radiant bride. And I want to present you guys to God as a radiant bride. I'm, in a sense, like the usher who's trying to bring you before God, putting you there. But there's a day we'll all stand before him, and more than ever, I want God's words to be to us. I want God to say to you and say to me, good job, well done, you good and faithful servant. You know, and that you did everything that I asked you to do. And I've got here that. I want God to say to me, you worshipped me, you had fellowship with other believers, you grew in character to be Christ-like, and you served me in the way that I shaped you. And that's my heart for you, that you are worshippers of God, that you fellowship with believers, that you let your character to be developed like Christ, and that you serve one another more than anything else. Now, you need a job. You need a job to pay the mortgage. And you need to eat. You need to do stuff. You also need to rest and sleep well. Don't burn the candle at both ends. And, you know, we're all okay with that sort of thing. But I do know that sometimes in our lives, when something's important, we will put ourselves out. And I think sometimes we need to make sure that we're not, that we've got a you can disturb sign on our lives. Don't be a mug. Don't let people take the mic. If they ring, I mean, I had a phone call on Friday night at 10:15. And at 8:15, the following morning, somebody else phoned me up. So I was both ends. Hello? You know what I mean? Oh, I just thought I'd ring you. You woke me up. You know what I mean? But it happens. It happens. I want God to tell us all, well done, you good and faithful servant. And I want us all to enjoy eternity with all the great rewards that God's got planned for us when we get there. And I want God to be able to say to us all that it was all about him, that we did all our work for him. And I'm going to round up with this. There's a day coming when we will stand before God. And everything we've done will be placed before him. And it said it'll be tried by fire. It's not salvation, you're saved. It's about what you've done. And everything we've done will be put there. And if you've done something with a motive of love and care, that's like gold and silver and precious stones. But if you've done it with a motive, look at me, look what I've done, I awesome, that's called wood, hay and stubble. And then he's going to set fire to it, and what's left, you'll be rewarded. But it doesn't mean that you've wasted your time, even if you've lived a life so far of wood, hay and stubble, you've still got a chance to do some gold, silver and precious stones. Do you know, smiling at somebody, encouraging somebody, just because you can, just because you care, will actually be gold or silver or precious stones. It doesn't have to be, how much do you want or anything like that. It can be, I'm going to be faithful, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to stand by you. I'm going to be there for you. And those sorts of things are just wooden, are just gold, silver and precious stones. But if you do things with a motive, look at me, it's just stubble. And some people, it says in the Bible, will enter heaven by the skin of the teeth. Now, some say it's that salvation they got at the end of their life, but in the context, it's talking about some people getting to heaven just by the skin of the teeth and will have nothing on the other side. Now, you could say, I'm all right with that as long as I get there. Well, that's selfishness. Because you're going to get there anyway now. You got saved. You're going to get there. But what are you going to do between now and then? Are you going to offer your life as a living sacrifice? Daily taking up your cross and following Jesus so that one day he can look you in the eyes and before you cry, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. I know that you've had a rough life. I know that it's not been easy, but you were faithful to me right to the end. Come in, let's party. Amen.